Let's get going on good works. Now, why would there be such a... Oh, here's another thought. I mean, I think I told you this before, that there was a Bible study or a pastor's column in the paper, the county paper a week or so ago, talking about soup kitchen help and stuff like that. And he went to Matthew and he said, if you don't help people do what, you know, when you want to help somebody, you're also helping Jesus. So if you don't help people, you're not helping Jesus, and you burn and fire in the lake of fire eternally based on your helping other people. So in other words, good works. Let's get to the good works. That's what we're talking about here, all over the place. And of course they would, because in Matthew, this is where they get their Bible, if they get any Bible at all, Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Okay, so, you know, do your good works, and that glorifies God, you know. And you're shining your light of goodness. In Acts chapter 9 even, you know, there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. So, you know, and we got some more verses. Paul talks about good works all the time. And so what's the issue here? For example, Ephesians chapter 2. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we shall walk in them. It's always been God's plan for his people to do good things, to do good works, which God hath before ordained that we shall walk in them. In what? Good works. He talks in Timothy, you know, about the thing about women and modesty. Well, it says, by which becometh women professing godliness with good works. 1 Timothy 5:10. Well reported of for good works. Here's that widow. If she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work. That's after the semicolon of reported of for good works. So there's a list of good works. Good to see you there, Great Greens. So good works, and good works, that's what Christians are supposed to be famous for. 1 Timothy 6:18, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. That's rich people. People that are able to afford to do good things for people. You know, not have to be rich, but you do good things for people. And listen, I've had people out there on the website keep us going here financially for years. And they write, not just write good things, but they write encouraging things, and they've sent things, and they've been involved with doing good works towards this website. And I know that you folks have done good things to other people and for other people. So what's the conflict here? Just because these people in the community, these small North Dakota communities, say they want to, you know, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father. So we have all these people all over North Dakota that I'm recognizing in my area here. Man, they're just oozing with good works. They're nice. They're good people. So what's the issue here? It says in 2 Timothy 3:17, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You go back to verse 16, that's talking about the Scriptures. For doctrine, for instruction, and righteousness, for correction, and for reproof. Did it in the wrong order, but... And the goal is good works. Titus chapter 2, verse 7, in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity. A pattern of good works. Wow. Titus chapter 2, verse 14 says that we are to be zealous of good works, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity which he has done, and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. Titus 3:8, this is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. Now see there, they which have believed in God. Do you believe in God? Is that the bottom line question? Sure looks like it if you pull Titus verse by itself. And we'll come back to that. Titus 3:14. And let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. How many good things have you done for somebody that appeared to be unfruitful? What did you get out of that? And that's a whole other concept, a whole other issue to deal with here. And then, let's go to Hebrews. Hebrews 10:24, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Well, what's wrong with claiming that verse? I mean, that's, you can say it's from the trip, but, you know, what's the problem? It's still a good verse. Well, yeah, but just look it out here real quick, like Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. Let's just go to 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So this is get ready for Christ to return. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, which I know we all have, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. So put that in its context. That has nothing to do with us today doing good works. It's talking about good works during the tribulation, just before the Lord comes. And if they've done anything on purpose, willfully, it's over unless they can get forgiven and get it confessed and forgiven and go through that whole procedure. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. What are we talking about there? Well, it's good that people see our good works. Yeah, but that's not what that verse is saying. That verse is speaking to Jews, as Peter is always speaking to Jews. And anybody interested in salvation as such, in the tribulation, which will be Jewish people, that's what the tribulation is all about. Well, how do you know that? Well, look at the first phrase, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles. He's not talking to the Gentiles, he's talking to the Jews. So Hebrews and Peter, that's not geared to us. Matthew 5 is not geared to us about our good works, let them shine and glorify God your Father. But boy, Paul sure talks about good works, doesn't he? So maybe these people that are doing all these good things they're okay because their good works are going to get to heaven. Well, if I remember my scriptures correctly, we don't get to heaven by good works. Well, how about let's go to Romans chapter 8. Now, let's look at the key verse here for this whole thing about good works. Now, I have learned, I have observed, that in more cases than I want to admit or say, when it comes to doing good works, lost people or modern Christians, if they're still, probably still believe they would be lost with the terminology I'm using here, or Great Commission Christians who are mixed up and confused big time, do better at good works than those Bible-believing guys that are King James only, that even those that are just King James only, don't go into the Paul thing, but even the Paul people, the mid-actors, these people that I run across that are claiming to be Paul, they just are not interested in doing good works. They're interested in being happy. Or they're interested in their brain, learning the book, learning the history, learning where the church was, where the church began, learning about Paul's life, learning about this. But the good works they still do nowadays actually goes more into making them happy. That's my observation. So it might be the only one. I might be the only one that has observed that, but that's what I'm seeing. So here we are. We're talking about good works, and the key verse is in Romans chapter 8, verse 8. See, people think that doing good things, doing good works, is going to please God. Well, it says in verse 8. Verse 8. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Now, there's two thoughts before I forget about it here. We probably should go back and we need to define what are good works. Because, see, Isaiah says about there's going to come a day when that which is evil is going to be called good and that which is good is going to be called evil. So if you were to sit down with somebody today and just generally comment about their music, their music's good music. Or the way they're dressed, it's a new outfit. Oh, it looks nice. Extremely immodest. Music is extremely fleshed out, rocking and talking and all that kind of stuff. It's just horrible music. And the church is just as bad. You buy the grandkids or you buy things for kids in order to make them happy, to do a good work to them, you've got to buy them some garbage and some trash that will actually destroy their brain over time. So, do you see what's going on here? Let's turn on some good TV programs. You sit down with your relatives, Christian or non-Christian, ask what a good program is, and you're probably going to not agree, based on, you know, scriptural things and Paul. So we've got that issue. What are good works? Let's say Salvation Army. Salvation Army is full of good works to people, but they certainly no longer talk about Salvation Army. And besides that, William Booth, the man who founded the Salvation Army, was a Paul guy. He did not believe in the Great Commission. Study that thing out. He actually taught, and all the church guys didn't like the guy. They hated the guy because of his doctrinal teaching about Paul. And he was against the Great Commission. Now look at Salvation Army. Great Commission, big time. If they're biblical at all, hardly. Not really. Salvation is, again, good works. Okay, so first we got to define what are good works, and Paul takes care of that. I mean, all things are lawful. Okay, all things are lawful, but are all things good works? Well, of course not. Whether they cause somebody to stumble, whether they have an edification issue, or whether they're a power over you, or if it's a occasion for the flesh, or whatever. We don't even need to go to those questions. Is doing everything, are all things that are lawful always considered, also considered good works? Well, no, because the things that we do are still going to get judged in the judgment seat of Christ, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Romans chapter 2, verse 16, and they're going to be based on Paul's teachings. So even though all things are lawful, not everything is a good work. There's a lot of things that we do for people today that they consider good works, but it's going to burn their judgment seat of Christ. Well, why is that? Because it wasn't a good thing to give to them. It wasn't a good thing to do for them. It wasn't good music that you gave to them. It wasn't, you know, see what we're saying here? And the phrase I heard somebody mention the other day in that radio program up there from the Canadian countryside of the French happy, good doing, what did they say in Wizard of Oz? Good deed doers? Is the phrase is the goodness of man. Oh, it's just so good to see the goodness of man coming out in our communities. Goodness of man. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Where's our goodness at? We're full of sin. Our body is sin. Our body is cursed. The world is cursed. Well, are we looking for the goodness of man? No, we're concerned about the goodness of God. Well, what's the goodness of God? Romans chapter 2. It isn't the fact that God blesses you with all these good materialistic things because you're a good Christian. It's because of the goodness of God that He has paid the penalty for Him. He paid the penalty Himself, and He changes us. He takes care of the law, so the law is not there for the believers, and so there's nothing imputed to us. And He keeps us clean. He makes us clean. He keeps us clean. He makes us free. He doesn't set us free, as all these modern Bibles and almost every Christian person believes. No, we are made free. We still have sin in us. Romans chapter 7. Here we go. See, this is what I mean. Chill out with Paulson. Just relax and understand. We're just yapping here. This is the stuff where an understanding shows you what's going on in this world. So it's not the goodness of man. It's the goodness of God people need to get. And once we get the goodness of God, once we understand the goodness of God by Paul's teachings, then we are no longer in the flesh. It says Romans chapter 8. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. The common understanding of that, the common interpretation of that verse is the fact that, well, you did that in the flesh. That was a fleshy piece of music. You did that in the flesh. Well, you played a nice classical flute piece, but you did it in the flesh. You liked the praise you got. That was in the flesh. No, we're not talking about this at all. See, we are not in our flesh. Well, then let's go to Colossians chapter 2, verse 11. Let's talk about that. How many people that you know about what is commonly called amongst the Bible guys is spiritual circumcision? Scripturally, it's called the circumcision made without hands. It's called the circumcision of Christ. See, you get circumcised without hands. You have the circumcision of Christ, then you are no longer in your flesh. You are no longer in the flesh. We're still inside our bodies, but we're clean. We're separated. We're cut away. So Colossians chapter 2, verse 11, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Being buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God. Okay, it's called the operation of God. Have you received the operation of God? There's the question to ask people. Who hath raised him from the dead? And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting, and it goes on. So, until a person's had the circumcision made without hands, the circumcision of Christ, the operation of God, all those good works that he's doing are not pleasing God. Well, why not? They're good things because you still have the sin. Give somebody a brand new present, okay, and take it outside. Give somebody a new shirt, for example. Brand new shirt, fits just perfectly, super duper expensive material. Take it outside and rub it in the dirt. Do they want that shirt? Well, thanks for the shirt, but it's kind of filthy, you know. Well, but it's a new shirt. Nobody's worn it before. Yeah, but it's full of dirt. See, all these good things people are doing, and I'm telling you, they're doing good things all over out here. Maybe just because I'm from Kadoka and I didn't realize, you know, just is not any, I mean, the goodness of man in that area is just not there. And like I said before, a lot of Bible-believing, Paul-following Christians are not full of good works. They're prideful, they're grumpy, they preach at you, they don't know how to deal with all this stuff. It's totally acceptable that they don't want to do the things that, you know, the world is doing. But the Bible-believing people that I remember in my past ministry and stuff I've been preaching, I read this, you know, farce book, or read this, check up on these people. Man, they're not doing good works at all. They're doing worldly things. They're doing things in the flesh because, I mean, they're doing things fleshy. Well, I think, well, all things are lawful. Boy, they better be thankful for God's grace because, yeah, all things are lawful. But all those things are not good works. So for you, your judgment seat's going to be pretty flamey because all those things you were doing are not good works based on Paul's teachings. For those people who are truly not saved, their works are going to burn too, but they're going to burn with their works because they haven't been separated from them. Sounds crazy. But I'm a Bible believer. I'm a King James Bible believer. It's the only Bible that teaches that. So if you don't want to believe that, I guess you got rid of your King James Bible. Oh, most people have gotten rid of their King James Bible. They think this stuff is just crazy. No, you know what it is? It's the goodness of God. This is what he's done for his final act before he comes back and puts the Spirit of God upon the people and expects them to do the right thing again. He has given us grace. This is called the dispensation of grace, right? There's been grace in every dispensation, but no dispensation has been called the dispensation of grace except this one. And there's a reason for that. So, we get to this good work stuff, and yes, we are still supposed to be doing Christian good things. In fact, Romans chapter 12, come on, Romans chapter 12, verse, I'm whining now, aren't I? Chapter 12, verse 2, be not conformed to this world. He says, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Well, we know that God made us acceptable. But he also says, which is your reasonable service. Good works from us, it should be just expected. It's reasonable. It's not that big a deal. Then we go on and we learn from Paul what the things are that we should be doing, especially in Timothy and Titus. And I'm telling you, the mid-actors, the Bible believers, the King James-only guys, they just are not interested in Timothy and Titus, except for a couple of verses so they can destroy their pastor because he's had a divorce in his life. So they go after that one. They don't go after the guy that's got his little children acting like crazies in the church. Doesn't go after the women working thing. They don't deal with that. No, if you're going to deal with Paul's stuff, you're going to suffer persecution because you're going to be doing what? Good works based on Paul's teachings. Well, how about if we make it a little bit more powerful? Instead of just saying Paul's teachings, let's go with the teachings from the risen Savior. I mean, all these people believe that Jesus died and rose again, but why do they ignore what he taught after he rose again? That's a very basic question. Why do you teach in your church, why do you believe and teach that what Jesus taught to the Jews before he was crucified and before he rose, and then what he taught to Paul, after he rose, why do you try to do the things he taught to the Jews? Why are we not trying to do the things he taught to the Gentiles? After all, that's what Paul tells us to do. And if anybody teaches anything contrary to what Paul teaches, let him be accursed. It's just that simple. What are some things Paul teaches? Paul teaches good works. So it's not that we're against good works. It's just that the fact that good works don't get you to heaven. It's just the fact that, sure, people can see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven, based on Matthew 5:16. But if you do good works today, based on what the risen Savior has taught, they're not going to like your light. They're not going to glorify your Father, which is in heaven. They hate it, matter of fact. Well, how can that be? We'll finish up with this. Well, it's very simple. Romans what? Romans 11, what verse? 22. Behold, therefore the goodness and severity of God. On them which fell severity, that's the Jews, but toward thee, talking to the Gentile nation, goodness. If thou continue in his goodness. Otherwise thou, the Gentile nation, also shall be cut off. Well, we're getting closer and closer to the rapture, getting closer and closer to the Gentile nation being cut off. Why? People are doing gooder things nowadays. They're doing good things. They're going to elect the better president again, and we're going to fix America. And we want to do good things for people and have these soup kitchens. And that's just fine, hunky-dory. But unless you've had the circumcision made without hands, unless you've turned your trust to the risen Savior, your good works mean nothing to God. Because they're still dirty. That's just the way it is. That's the Scriptures. That's rightly dividing the Scriptures. I think I'll just leave it at that. I like to repeat everything I said because I find it important. All things are lawful, but not all things are good works. But not the goodness of man, but the goodness of God. The importance of spiritual circumcision, as we call it generally, circumcision made without hands, circumcision of Christ, the operation of God. Paul preaches good works all the time. But if you're in your flesh, you're still in that old flesh, that doesn't please God. I mean, the Scriptures are simple. But again, this is the only Bible that teaches that, so let's find these new Bibles. We won't have to worry about that. Isn't that just something that people that are King James Bible-believing people treat this Bible like it doesn't say what it says? It's like they live the life of a modern Christian out of a modern Bible because their King James Bible does not support what they're doing in their lifestyle, the way they what they wear, where they go, what their activities are when it's hot, the working situation. And yeah, this is praise God for His grace these days. We all have to do what we have to do. But how much of it's going to burn because it's not considered the right kind of works? Well, a lot of it's going to burn. And that's just the time we're living in. And if you try to do some things that will not burn, Paul says, you'll suffer persecution. That's just the way it's going to be. In Timothy, he says it. Okay? So there you go.